3 this morning. I thank God for His goodness to me. Amen and amen. Give you just a second to find your place in Joshua chapter number 3. And I do appreciate you being here this morning, being in your place. Pray for those that are not able to be here. Pray for those that are able and just chose not to be. The Lord knows their heart. And as a pastor, I'll just be honest with you, I'm never happy to see any of you not at church, all right? I understand some circumstances, but just in case you think the pastor don't care, the pastor cares. When you're not in your place, there's a hole in the pew, but there's also a hole in the pastor's heart. And I just want you to know that from the bottom of my heart. I miss you when you're not here. I understand there's circumstances. You can't be here, but I'm thankful for you when you are, amen? And I appreciate your faithfulness. Many of you are faithful, and you'd be here if you had strep throat, pneumonia, and a good case of the don't want to go. You go anyway, and I appreciate that. God bless you for your faithfulness. Amen and amen. All right, I'm trying to brag on you, so amen. All right, Joshua chapter number 3. All right, Joshua chapter number 3. All right, if you've got your places, begin reading with me in verse number 1. The Bible said, Joshua rose early in the morning. Amen. How about that? That's going to put me under conviction right there. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days, the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bare the ark, were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from the above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zarethan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho, and the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. But help the Lord, I want to preach on this thought this morning. Going where you've never been. Going where you've never been. Will you pray with me? Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your mercy, and I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how you've taught us and brought us to where we are. And God, I pray you'd help us as we look into your word on how to go where we've never been. I pray, God, you'd touch. I pray you'd speak to hearts and lives. And I pray, God, you'd have your perfect will and way in everything that's said and done. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, amen and amen. We come to Joshua number 3. The Israelites have come out of Egypt, but we understand that that was not all that God had for them. We talked about that a little bit last week and how God had a promised land. He had a land of promise for them. It's a land of plenty. Sometimes we talk about the land that was flowing with milk and honey and how Deuteronomy 6:23, God said that He brought us out that He might bring us in. He brought us out of Egypt, not to leave us in the wilderness, but to bring us into the land of promise that's flowing with milk and honey. So there's a land of promise before us as children of God. But before the nation of Israel could ever reach their promised land, they had to cross Jordan. Jordan was the widest. It was the most principal river in Palestine. And before they could ever go out of the wilderness, get over to the promised land, they had to cross Jordan. They had to be delivered from Egypt, and thank God they had been. Their deliverer Moses, God sent Moses down to Egypt, brought them by the power of God out of Egypt and out from under Pharaoh's strong arm. The salvation was by grace. It was all of grace. And God saved you. It was all of Him. Crossing the Jordan, they was going to face opposition. Crossing the Jordan, they was going to have work to do. They didn't have to work to come out of Egypt. All they had to do was follow the deliverer and march out of the land. Go across the Red Sea. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. But to cross Jordan, when they cross Jordan, they're going to face opposition. There's going to be work to do. There's going to be an enemy to drive out. They're going to have to go in and take possession of the promised land. There's going to be victories to be won. And the victory was theirs as long as they would obey and act in faith toward God. But it's going to require faith to cross the river. It's going to require faith to cross Jordan. It was going to require their faith to get across Jordan. And can I say that in our lives, as we cross Jordan, some of you looking puzzled this morning, you need to maybe throw a couple songs that you've heard out, and let's get back to the Bible. Jordan is not a picture of dying and going to heaven. Jordan is a picture of crossing into the promised land. Egypt is a picture of coming out and coming and being saved, coming out of Egypt, we're being saved. And then there's a river, Jordan, and that's typical of crossing that river. It's typical of identifying with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that He died, and He died for our sins. We received that by faith when we got saved. But then the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter number 6, that those things that we know, we have to reckon them to be so. That is, we need to reckon, count on them, add them up, compute them, and live like Christ died for our sins. And so when we come to this passage, this river of Jordan, they're going over into the promised land. Amen. And listen, when they get in the promised land, there's still going to be battles. There's still going to be giants. There's still going to be opposition. Honey, I got news for you. That's not the heaven that the Bible tells me about. When we go to heaven, there's not going to be any battles. When we go to heaven, there'll be no opposition. When we go to heaven, listen, it's going to be a place of peace and rest. It's going to be a place of worship. And listen, the promised land is a picture of the life that you can have right now. It's a picture of the victorious Christian spirit-filled life that God wants every believer to have. But to get there, you're going to have to cross your Jordan. As Christians, we've been saved by grace through faith. But there is a life of victory. There is a life of abundance. We may experience and we may enjoy. God wants us to know. God wants us to live. He wants us to experience the spirit-filled, abundant Christian life. But we're going to have to cross our Jordan. I want you to notice in this text a few things that we find. Number one thing I see in verses 3 and 4, we see a message of guidance or a warning. He tells them some things. He tells them in verse 3, you're going to have to remove from your place. If you're going to cross Jordan, you're going to have to leave where you are. Amen. Am I preaching to myself? If you're going to get over into the life of victory, you can't be in status quo, all right? If you're going to get where you've never been, you've got to leave somewhere. He said you're going to have to remove from your place. And then in verse 3, he also says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priest, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. So not only are you going to have to leave where you are, remove from your place, but you're going to have to follow after the presence of God. That's what the Ark of the Covenant is. That's a picture of the presence of God. And God's presence dwelt with them in the Ark of the Covenant. And so he said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant going, he said, you're going to have to get out of where you are and go where he's at. A lot of people sitting in churches today dead at 4 o'clock, and they say, well, I'd go down to that other church, but Ma and Paw Paw's buried in the graveyard. I got news for you. If you could dig them up and talk to you, they'd probably tell you, hey, they want to go with you. Are you listening to me? Hey, there's a lot of people that's stuck in dead ruts and customs and traditional religion, and that they're not anywhere where God is. I'm telling you, if you want to go where you've never been, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone, get up from where you are, and follow after the presence of God. And then he said there's going to be a space between you and it. He's giving them instructions, a warning. In other words, hey, don't you try to go there. Don't you try to take control of it. Don't you get there and think you're going to control where the ark is going. But hey, you just follow the ark. Stay back a space. Be where everybody can see. Everybody can get direction from the Spirit of God and the presence of God. But don't you think you're going to lead it. You stand back behind it and let it lead you. Oh, there's a lot of churches that could take some lessons there. A lot of preachers think they run the show. I got news for you. I don't run the show. Amen. I come in here every service, and with the help and the good grace of God, I just want to pitch the sail and let the wind blow. Amen. There's a message of guidance and a warning. There's a moment of growth. Magnifying. Notice verse number 7. Imagine, if you will, now Joshua. He's taking control. He's leading this nation of Israel in a place where Moses had once stood. No doubt there are some questions, just like there is any time a position of leadership changes. There's also always questions, and people want to know, how's he going to be? What's it going to be like? And I don't just watch now. And God said in verse number 7, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee. Magnify, it's going to make you big. He's going to enlarge you in their sight of all Israel, that they may know. Not that you were great, but that as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. That's what he's saying. He said, Joshua, I was with Moses, and I want you to lead this people by faith. I want you to take them from where they are. I want you to take them somewhere they've never been. And as you follow me by faith, I tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to make you big in their sight. I'm going to let them look at you sort of the way they looked at Moses. Are you listening? As a moment of growth, can you imagine the encouragement that Joshua would have got from this message? Growth and realizing that, hey, I can trust God. I don't have to make them. I can just follow God, and God's going to allow them to see Him working in me, and they'll follow. And thirdly, I see a miracle of greatness. Verse 14 through 17, the Bible said that it came to pass when the people removed from their tents. That's what He told them to do, remember? When they did what God said, to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they bear the Ark, were coming to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests to bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters came down from above, stood, and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zarephath, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. I like verse 17. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. I like that dry ground talk. In the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground. Unto all the people. How many? All the people were passed clean over Jordan. Right here's a miracle. If y'all didn't catch that, that was a vast miracle. He's talking about in the time of harvest in verse number 15. In the time of harvest is the time of flooding. The flood, not only the river Jordan is flowing, but at this time of harvest is the time when the river was out the bank, so to speak. It's a time of flooding where the plains of Jordan were flooded. And God's telling them, leave where you are. Follow after the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm going to lead you and take you somewhere you have never been. I'm going to take you to a land of promise. I'm going to take you to a land of abundance. I'm going to take you to a land of blessing. I'm going to take you to a land where I'll provide you victory. A miracle of greatness. And I just give this to you. If you study this out, you'll find out that this water of the Jordan River 18 miles upriver was dammed up. 18 in a time of flooding. And you have to understand there are tributaries and other streams that run into the Jordan River. And so for the priest and all the nation of Israel that followed after them, in a time of flooding, you've got 2 million plus people crossing over. God pulled back the water 18 miles, stood the water up upon a heap, it said, and they crossed over on dry ground. Let me say something. God, by faith, led them through the Red Sea on dry ground. That's a picture of salvation. And God, by faith, can also lead them to victory in their Christian life. Hey, on dry ground, that's Jordan. And God can do that for them, and He did, and God can do that for you. In a time of flooding, 2 million plus people walked over on dry ground. You know why? Because they was walking by faith. Walking by faith. They was going where God said go. They was obtaining what God said they were given. And they were doing it all by obedience and faith. Look in verse number 4. I give you this as an introduction. In verse number 4, I want to pull a phrase out of verse number 4. In that latter part of that verse, Joshua was telling them how to go, how to follow from a distance. In the last part of verse number 4, he gives this phrase, "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." They had not come this far. In other words, hey, you come into a place where you've never been before. Are you listening? Thank God for salvation. But that was the beginning. It was not the end. Amen. Are you listening to me? Thank God for what God done for you 28 years ago in salvation. But I got news for you. That wasn't the end. A lot of people in the Christian walk and in our churches, they're just celebrating. Well, God saved me. And that's all. And I thank God He saved me. I don't belittle that one bit. Thank God that He saved me. But God saved you, and He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. God's got so much more for you if you'll walk by faith. A life of abundance. It's a life of victory. It's a Spirit-filled Christian life. You don't have to walk defeated. You don't have to walk distressed. I'm telling you, we all go through trials, and we all going to go through those things. And Jesus said, in this life, in this world, you shall have tribulation. But He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to walk in defeat. You don't have to walk depressed all the time. Are you listening to me? We're made more than conquerors, and through Him, hey, they that loved us, amen, I'm talking about, you can live an abundant, Spirit-filled life of victory. This Christian life is not to be dull. This Christian life is the best life you could ever live if you learn to walk by faith. The nation of Israel has left Egypt. They have come through the Red Sea on dry ground. They have wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Moses has died. And God said, you've come to a place and you're going somewhere now you've never been. I'm taking you somewhere you have not been. And I say to you this morning, in order to proceed and to progress, there were some things that would be required of them. We read about them in verse number 3. You're going to have to get up. They're going to have to leave. They're going to have to go after the presence of God. They had to follow the commands of God and the instructions of God. There were some things that would be required of them. And let me say this to you and I this morning, if you and I as Christians, individually, as an individual Christian, don't be sitting there wondering about everybody else or all you, the whole church. Think about yourself as an individual Christian. And then it's true of families and homes. And then it's true as the church. Family, corporately as a church. If we're going to go where we've never been, it's going to require some things of us. Are you listening? Now, I just got news for you. If you're satisfied with status quo and you're satisfied with your little comfort zone, I want to give you two people that you ain't going to get along with. Number one, me. Number two, God. God does not want you sitting in your little comfort zone thinking, well, this is the way it's always been, this is the way it's always going to be. God is telling you in your Christian life, hey, there's some things and the times in your life where you've never gone here before. You've got to get up. You've got to follow the presence of God. Listen, I'm telling you, hey, if you're going to mind the Lord, you're going to have to follow Him and go where He goes. Somebody said this, if you always do what you've always done, you always do what you've always done. I mean, that's deep, isn't it? If you always do what you've always done, you always go where you've always been. And if you always do what you've always done, you always be what you've always been. Are you listening to me? To experience change, there must be change. True in many aspects of life. If nothing changes, nothing changes. I don't know the originator of this. Some have said Einstein said this, but there's dispute on that. I don't know who it was, but somebody years ago said that the definition of insanity was doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. And that's true in life, but that's true in the Christian life. Can you imagine this nation of Israel? Well, God said He'd give us the land of promise, so I'm just going to sit right here and expect that land of promise to land in my lap. Well, that wasn't the way God told them they was going to get the land of promise, was it? God said, if you're going to get the land of promise, hey, I brought you out of Egypt. You didn't have to do anything. That was by my power. Y'all didn't have to fight a battle to come out. Did they fight any battles coming out of Egypt? No. All they did is they followed Moses. When Moses went down there and finally on that tenth plague, and God said, hey, y'all coming out? And Pharaoh said, all right, let them go. Because Moses had said, let my people go, right? Some of y'all think the preacher's like Pharaoh. He won't ever let God's people go. But hey, they didn't work. They didn't work to come out of Egypt. They just followed their deliverer. You didn't work to get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're here this morning, you need to be saved. You don't have to work. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to join the church to get saved. The only thing you do to get saved is by faith to trust and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, thou shalt be saved. But after you're saved, you're going to live a life of victory. Though it's a life of faith, faith is exhibited in obedience. And God gives us some instructions, and there's a Jordan to cross for us to get over into the life of victory. And it's still a life of faith. And so, if we always do what we've always done, and we never do anything different, we never make any changes, if I get saved and then say, well, I'm going to live my life my way, nothing's going to change. If nothing changes, you're not going over into the promised land. Are you listening? You're not going to know that life of abundance and that life of spiritual victory. But God wants you to walk in victory. There are dads that need to cross Jordan. There are moms that need to cross over into Jordan. There are young people, teenagers that need to cross Jordan. There are Sunday school teachers that need to cross Jordan. There are choir members that need to cross Jordan. There are deacons and preachers. There are Christians that need to reckon themselves dead to sin, dead to this old life. And they need to cross Jordan. They need to go by faith where they have never been before. There is a promised land. There is a life of victory. There is a life of abundance that awaits the Christian who will walk in obedience and faith with God. Going where you've never been. I wonder if anybody's interested in going where they've never been. I wonder if you're just satisfied and think, well, this is the way it always is and it's the way it's always going to be. And I'm not talking about anything spooky. I'm just talking about living in the promises of God. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about walking in the victory that the book of Ephesians talks about. Spirit. I'm talking about that Spirit-filled Christian life. Be not drunk with wine where it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I wonder if any Christians are interested or we're just satisfied. The one reason we don't have no effect in this world, we don't have the effect that we could have, we don't have no impact, is because there's nothing different about us. There's nothing different about it. We're not walking in victory. We're walking around in gloom and doom and poop slip. I'm saved. Bless God. Bless God. I'm saved. Don't you want to get saved? They see you pouting and whining and murmuring and grumbling all the time. They see you hooked on the same habits that they're hooked on. They see your car never in church. Let me say one of the greatest testimonies you got is at church time your car is not in your driveway.
They see you doing the same thing. Let me just say, we're going to face the same temptations they face. We're going to face the same hardships and the same troubles that lost people face. The difference is, it's not me, but it's greater is He that is in me. And as I trust Him and I obey Him and walk by faith with Him, hey, it'll put a pep in your step, amen. I'm talking about it'll give you a life of victory. You don't have to, it's all right, I can't wait to get to heaven. Hey, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm homesick for heaven. But honey, hey, you can enjoy the trip on the way, amen. I'm convinced that one reason we don't win people the way we ought to win people and the way we could win people is because we don't give them anything very appetizing. They look at our lives and they think, man, their life's no better than mine. What I need, what they got. They talk about a great and mighty God. What's He done for them? They don't never smile. They ain't faithful. They cuss. They do this. They do that. They mess around on their wife. They do whatever. They do the same things I do. They're hooked on the same stuff I'm hooked on. No victory in their life. I don't need what they got. I'm talking this morning. I'm shouting. I don't even know if I'm going to get into the message. Here's my heartbeat. Going where you've never been. Maybe some of you have kind of dabbled in it. You got down to the river and you got close. Maybe you watched somebody cross. I'm talking about going where you've never been. I'm talking about getting... I'm not talking about anything crazy. Some of y'all might think I'm crazy. What I'm talking about is going from just the status quo to getting over into the life of victory. I don't know, man. I'm telling you. I'm getting some awful eerie looks. Preacher hadn't lost his mind. I'm giving you the Bible here. God had brought them out of Egypt. That was wonderful. But they were in the wilderness. God's plan was not for them to stay in the wilderness and say, well, thank God we're not in Egypt anymore. Thank God I'm not in Egypt. I'm glad they wasn't in Egypt, but there was so much more. And they didn't have to die to get to the promised land. All they had to do was by faith do what God said. Amen. And amen. I'm going to give this to you. Y'all hold on. Number one, if we're going to go where God has never... taken us before, if we're going to go where we've never been before, number one, it's going to require preparation. Right? It's going to require preparation. Look in verse number 3. Verse number 3, watch this. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, hearing it, watch this. I got to back up. I got to find my place. Verse number 5. And Joshua said... When they see this, all these things, he told them how to walk. But in verse number 5, and Joshua said unto the people, here it is, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. Preparation. You study the concept of sanctification and sanctifying yourself. The idea of sanctifying is to consecrate or to sanctify, to prepare yourself, to be dedicated, to hallow something to the Lord, to be holy, to be sanctified, to be separated. In the Old Testament, you would find that the priests sanctifying themselves, they would wash themselves, they'd bathe themselves in the laver. Hey, listen, sanctification, preparing themselves. Are you listening to me? The idea of sanctification, what he's telling them, hey, take a bath, get cleaned up, get ready, you're going somewhere. God uses clean vessels, ladies and gentlemen. God uses clean instruments. God wants us to be clean. Can I say you'll never walk over in the life of victory holding on to the habits of the old life? You'll never enjoy victory and abundance and the blessings of God that God has for you. You'll never be in that land of milk and honey as long as you're trying to still act like the world. God said, sanctify yourself, clean up. There's going to be some things you're going to have to get rid of. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, Colossians 3 talks about putting off the old man, put on the new. They're already saved, but listen, when you're saved, it's a new life. You've got to put off the old man. Hey, put away some things. Put them to death. Get rid of them. Hey, but put on the new. Walk in victory to get over into the promised land. You're going to have to sanctify yourself. You'll never cross Jordan and enter victory until you learn to come out, be separate, and be holy. We're not talking about a life of perfection. We're talking about a life that says, my life is set apart. I am sanctified unto the Lord. I sanctify the Lord God in my heart. Listen, I want my life to please Him. So if He puts His finger on anything in my life, I'm willing to throw it aside. I'm willing to walk away. I'm willing to get rid of it. I'm willing to say no. I'm willing to say goodbye, world. Goodbye. Sanctify yourselves. Clean up. I mean, remember when you was a kid, you was going to go somewhere. Mama would say, get in there and take a bath. You know why? Because you was going somewhere where it's going to require you to look a little better than you did. Clean up. She didn't want you to stink. Maybe it was on Saturday night. You know, I remember when I was a kid, it was a Saturday night. Go in there. We're going to church Sunday. Go in there and take a bath. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You go in there and take a bath, and she'd get that rag. And she'd come in there when you was done. She'd say, you missed a spot. And she'd feel like she'd run her finger clean to the side of your head. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You missed the spot. You know what? She wanted you clean. She wanted you presentable. She wanted to be proud of you. You know what? God says sanctify yourself. If you're going to go where you've never been, hey, if we're going to go over the life of victory, if you're going to represent Him, if you're going to say, hey, I'm walking in victory, I'm walking in faith, He said sanctify yourselves. It's going to require some preparation. Hey, listen, there's going to be some things that maybe you're able to do. You say, well, I can do that and still be saved. Yeah, you can, but maybe you shouldn't. Oh. Dying to self, preacher? Yeah. Identifying with that death that Christ died for our sins, and then you die to them. Watch this. There may be some things you're able to do that you should not do. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to die to self? Are you willing to die to the old selfish desires that want to satisfy your fleshly appetites in order to prepare yourself for where God wants you to go? Give you some New Testament, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, yeah. 1 Peter 1, he said in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We're talking about, hey, putting some things off, sanctifying myself, preparing myself to go where I've never been. Preparation. That is, you get yourself ready for the journey, for the battles, for the task ahead, for the path ahead. How do you do that, preacher? By yielding yourself and yielding your will to the Holy Spirit of God and to God's will. It's not that you've got a checklist. It's that you've got a bent knee and a willing heart. Now, there's too many churches, they got their checklists, and they got their dress codes, and they got their haircuts, and they got, I got a haircut and a dress, a nice set of clothes on this morning. I believe in respect and all that. Listen, I'm telling you, if you're going to get where you've never been, if you're going to walk in victory, this is not the life of victory. The life of victory, listen to me, the life of victory comes from daily, Romans 12:1, presenting myself a living sacrifice. God, here I am. God, take my life. Whatever you want for my life, if you don't want me to do this, I won't do it. If you don't want me to wear this, I won't wear this. If you don't want me to go here, God, whatever it is, here's my life. It's a blank check, God. I'm going to sign the bottom. You fill it out. It's a bent knee and a broken, yielded heart. God, not my will, but Thy will be done. That's preparation. Preparation. Preparing your heart. Number two, not only is it going to require preparation to get where you've never been, but number two, it's going to require expectation. Notice, I'm right here in the Bible now. Go down to verse number 5 again. Not only did they have to have some preparation, but they had to have some expectation. He said, sanctify yourselves. Watch this. For tomorrow, the Lord will
not might, will do wonders among you. Y'all get ready and listen, expect God to do something. Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. In other words, here's the expectation. Expectation is faith that God will work in the days ahead. Say what? I'm going to be honest with you. I think we're filling churches that people that believe God did, that believe God used to. I got news for you. I don't believe just that God did or that He used to. I see what He did and I see what He used to do, and it convinces me and confirms in my heart that He still can and He still will. Oh yeah, Brother Rhymey. If He could part a Red Sea, a Jordan River ain't going to be no problem. If He can save you from hell, He can get the dirt of this world out of you. Lakin said amen. Watch me now. Faith that God will work in the days ahead. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that look and all they can talk about is what God used to do. And I've got news for you. If your only testimony is what God did 30 years ago, you need to trust God for something today. He wants to do something in your life fresh and new today. He's not the God who was. He's the God who is. He's the great I am. He's not the great I used to be or I was. He's the great I am, constantly am, presently am, always am. Thank God for what He used to do. I thank God for the men of God. I thank God for the Mays Jacksons and Harold Seitlers. And I thank God for what God done in those old generations. But honey, if I had believed this morning that I couldn't walk in the same victory, I couldn't experience victory and abundance and blessings the way that they did 50 years ago, if I thought I had to go around and say, well, God used to, but He can't. If I thought that, I'd hang up my hat. I'd go fishing, go racing, go do something. But I'm telling you this morning, there's a God in heaven that still can. And He still wants to. And He still will if we'll obey Him and trust Him. Where's the expectation? God can still build churches, amen. Hey, are you listening to me? God can fill every pew in this building. God can knock this building and build one 3 times bigger if He wants to. And if the people will expect it and trust Him. So I don't believe that, preacher. How about this? Put Him to the test. Do your part and let Him do His. You go do what He said do, and you trust Him, and you see what God does. There's enough lost people in Walnut Cove and Walkertown and Winston-Salem and rural. There's enough people on their way to hell. If we go out there and get them and trust God, He can fill every pew and fill up the parking lot with a whole new building. I'm telling you, God can. We gotta expect some things. Oh, William Tanner, his great missionary years gone by, he said this is wonderful. He said, attempt great things for God. And expect great things from God. There's a lot of people working in the power of the flesh. They're attempting to do great things, but they're not trusting God and expecting Him to do anything. And the reason they get defeated and discouraged and throw in the towel is because they couldn't do it. I got news for you, honey. I can't do it and you can't do it either. Are you listening? I can't do it. There's things I can't do, but I can obey and I can trust. And I like that old song we sing, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. The Christian life, it begins by faith and it's sustained and continues by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Many individual Christians, many families, their homes, many churches even, are hindered from moving forward and possessing what God has promised because they lack the faith to expect God to work. Oh, they're willing to do it because they think they can do it. But there's a barrier. Because let me tell you something. Joshua could lead those people down to the water. Joshua would tell them to walk in the water. But Joshua could not dam up the waters 18 miles up the river. Joshua could not dry a muddy river bottom and make it dry ground. You can only do what you can do, and you have to trust God. I have to trust God by faith. This Christian life is a life of faith, not sight. We cannot always compute it.
A lot of churches are hindered because they're, well, it just don't add up. We ain't going to be. If God says go, go. If God says do it, do it. If God says support a missionary, support a missionary. If God says to help somebody, help somebody. You may not always figure it out, but you can faith it out. You may not always be able to trace God's hand, but you can trust Him. We got to learn to walk by faith. Hey, we just take God at His Word and we trust Him and we walk in faith and obedience and we expect God to do what only God can do. There has to be preparation and there has to be expectation. Expectation is trusting God to do what He has promised He will do. We call it faith. You're going to go where you've never been. It's going to require preparation. It's going to require expectation. And thirdly and last, it's going to require activation. Activation. It's going to take preparation. It's going to take expectation. And it's going to take activation. Notice verse number 6. I don't have time. I have no idea what time it is. And y'all still sitting here. Amen. Verse number 6 says, "And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people." And they took, they didn't just hear it, they took the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. What did they do? They acted on what they had been told. And they had to be willing to, by faith, walk in obedience into the river, stand still, so that the people could cross over. That's talking to the priest first. That's the men of God, the ones who represent the people of God. He said, take the Ark of the Covenant. Pass over before the people. Pass over before the people. He's talking to the priest. He's telling the men of God, hey, y'all going to have to walk by faith. If the people of God's going to walk by faith, the man of God's got to walk by faith. A man of God, a pastor, can I say, by implication, a pastor cannot lead a church where he's not willing to walk by faith himself. But as he walks by faith and as he trusts God, then the people are to pass by after him. Follow first to the priest. Take the ark. That's the presence of God. Pass over before the people. And they took the ark and went before the people. Verse number 6. They took the ark. Look down at verse number 8. Thou shalt command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. So they had to take the ark, they had to go down into the river, and they had to stand still in the Jordan. Go down to verse number 12. Now therefore take ye 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that shall come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, verse 14, God promised it in those earlier verses. Verse 14, it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priest bearing the ark of the covenant of the before the people, as soon as they bear the ark, were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed his banks all the time of harvest. Verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up on a heap very far from the city Adam, that is the besides Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed, were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jerusalem. I'm saying this, they trusted God, they heard His message, and then those priests acted on what God said. Could you imagine being one of those men, you got the ark, and you walk down there and there's the river flowing. You imagine walking down to the river. Well, I don't know how this is going to work. And they start walking in the river, and they get down in the river, and the river stops running. You see water in the river right there, right? That's the Jordan River. And that water quit running. And 18 miles up the river, enough room for 2 million people to cross. Dry ground. You know why? Preparation, expectation, activation. They did what God said do. They didn't just sit around and say, well, I heard God would do this. No, they knew God gave them something to do. They did it, and they believed God. That was the priest. But then there's something for the people. Go back to verse number 9. Verse 9 says, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel," oh, the children of Israel, the rest of them, "come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." Go back to verse 6. "Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. Oh, and verse number 9 says, "He said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." Verse 10, "And Joshua said, hereby, ye," the people, "ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you." That's the people into Jordan. Look down to verse number 17. "And the priest," here it is, the end of verse 16 says, "the people passed over right against Jericho." Verse 17, "And the priest that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground." That's the priest. And now watch this. "And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan." What happened? Not only did the priest do something, the people did something. What did the people do? The people had to be following after. That's what God said they was going to be. And so the priest took up the Ark, the covenant, went before the people. Now let me tell you something. The people's going to follow after the priest. They're going to walk over on dry ground. That's exactly what they did. We just read it. Let me say something about the Jordan River. If you used to get a map, you look at the Jordan River. There's a Sea of Galilee up here. There's a Dead Sea down here. And in between, there's a Jordan River. The Jordan River empties itself out into the Dead Sea. Are you listening to me? What was going to be a hindrance to the nation of Israel getting into victory was a river that runs to death. The Dead Sea. Nothing's living in the Dead Sea. Are you listening? You and I, as Christians, God wants you to get over into the life of victory, life of abundance. And those things that will hinder you, those things that you see in the natural as impossibilities, as obstacles, those things are things that lead you to death. They lead you to defeat. And I will give you this. No opposing river will stop you if you'll act in faith. No opposing river, nothing the devil, this world, or even yourself can throw up in your face and say, "You can't walk in victory because of this. You can't enjoy the blessings of God. You can't because of this." Those hindrances, there's going to be some. There's going to be a Jordan River in your life. There's going to be some barriers. And if you allow them to stop you, and if you won't trust God, and you won't do what God said do, you'll follow them down to the Dead Sea in your life. But if you'll by faith trust God, you can cross over that Jordan River on dry ground, and you can walk over into the promised land. That land is filled with milk and honey, that abundant Christian life. If you act in faith. Verse 17, I like this. "And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground." By faith and obedience, they went where they had never been. Activation. Activation is doing what God says do, going where God says go. Hey, church, it's time to do something. Christian, it's time to do something. Dad, mom, whoever you may be, it's time to do something. I'm afraid we sit on our blessed assurance and we say, "I shall not be moved. I believe God used to. I even believe God could. But I ain't doing nothing, bless God." Let me ask you a simple question. It's a life-changing question. What would you do today? Listen, what would you do today if you knew God would see it through? Stop thinking on that. What would you do today in your life if you knew God would see it through? And if it's something in line with His Word, something He's put in your heart, here's my advice to you. Do it. Do it. to get where you've never been, to go where you've never been, to walk in victory like you've never walked, enjoy things God's got for you that you've never obtained, walk in the life of victory that you've never walked. It's going to require preparation. It's going to require expectation. And it's going to require activation. You're not going to sit on a church pew with your thumbs folded, observing everybody else, and enjoy the victory of God. You're going to enjoy the victory of God when you prepare your heart, when you trust God, and when you do what God told you to do. You, just like the nation of Israel, they crossed over, every one of them. And you can too. You've got to prepare yourself. You've got to prepare yourself. You've got to expect and trust God to do His work, and you've got to act in faith. It's true of individuals. It's true of churches. It's true of dads, moms, and families. Here's my heart. Here's my heart. Church, New Hope Baptist Church. It's real simple. Let's go where we've never been. Instead of sitting around grumbling about what used to be, and instead of even looking back and rejoicing about what happened 35 years ago, and we ought to thank God for some of those things. Once in a while we need to be reminded. But let's be reminded while we look back, let's be reminded that the God who did that 35 years ago can still do it today. And let's go. Let's trust God. Let's do what God says do. And trust Him. And go where we've never been. Let's trust God for the victories that lie ahead. I said the victories that lie ahead. If God was done with you, He'd have done took you out. And He's got you here, and He doesn't want you to live in defeat. God wants us to live in victory. Let's trust Him. Let's prepare our hearts. Let's expect God to do His work. And let's get active in doing what He said to do. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're standing all across the auditorium. So you're beginning to play. If you need to come, you come. Maybe you're here this morning. God spoke to your heart. Maybe you're here this morning. You've never been saved. And if you've never been saved, today would be a great day to give Jesus Christ your life. And let Him come into your life. Yield yourself to Him. Maybe you're here today and you know you're saved. There's no doubt in your mind that you're saved. But you're not walking in victory. You're not walking in abundance. Say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Preacher, God spoke to my heart. I see hands going up. Preacher, God spoke. If God spoke to your heart, won't you mind the Lord? Won't you come down to this altar and ask God to help you? Why don't you say, God, prepare my heart? God, why don't you say, God, I'm going to trust you. Help me, God. It may be like that one man that said, hey, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Hey, several's come. If you need to come, you come. Would you mind the Lord? Are you satisfied in status quo? Or do you have a longing and a desire to enjoy the blessings of God and to walk where you've never walked, go where you've never been? Would you come this morning? Would you come? God's dealing with your heart.